This is Lachlan Rouston.
This is Ralph Friedman. And you're listening to the fittest podcast in Australia,
The Mind Muscle Project. Project, welcome back to this episode of In the Black, where we help you grow your fitness business, grow your gym, grow your online training business. How else do people make? Grow your supplement company. Not grow your biceps. Grow your...
If you get back your time, you can spend more time training.
That's right. And that's everyone's dream in the fitness industry, right? Is to make money so that they can just train full time, step on stage. So today, we are going to be talking about team. Actually, I think the best quote to summarize this up is a couple of weeks ago, I was speaking with Ben Pekulski about business, and we sat down and we're chatting, and he said one of the best pieces of advice that he got last year in 2019 was, when approaching any situation, it's not how can I do this or what do I need to do this? It's who can I get to do this? And when you change to that perspective, it doesn't become about how can I do this or what things do I need to do to get this done. It takes it all the way to a full team focus. Who do I need to hire to do this role? And I think that is the number one mistake we see with boutique fitness gym owners and micro gym owners, is that they're trying to do everything themselves. And when you change that perspective to who, and we're going to talk a lot about, you know, some of the big myths and the big mistakes in organizational structures in micro gyms today, it will really, really change business. That's truly when your business changes. When you bring on team members and you start to build your team, that's when you really have a business. But before that, it's just you and Elise and a bunch of equipment and just running around with your head cut off trying to do everything. So before we jump into the episode, you guys know, of course, we have the NPE in-person event coming up. Our business coaches that we've had for the last 2.5-3 years. So Sean and Rick's coming. I told Rick that he has to get a skin fade haircut when he's over here because he keeps making fun of me for getting a haircut so often. So I'm taking Rick for a haircut. Rick is the coach of the Aussies.
Yep.
Sean is the owner of the company. And then who else have got coming out? Maybe one other person.
I think maybe Tiffany's coming.
Oh, Tiff's coming. Yeah. So mad team. They're awesome people. We're excited. It's going to be dinners. We're going to be hanging out with people in the group as well. We've actually had quite a... We had who's that new person that jumped into the group on the call last week? Was it Tim?
Oh, yeah, I don't know. But we had a really good gym owner join the group.
Yeah.
Awesome gym. Doing really well.
Yeah, so there's a few different aspects of... a few different people going to be there. We're going to be... The event is going to be focused on business strategy. We've already got a few of my local gym owner friends to sign up to come to the event. Guys, we have a deal for you. If you want to come along to the event, I recommend it. Obviously, it's a big stretch to come from the West Coast, but East Coast people, you have no excuse to get here. It's like $200 for a flight return. Just get one. Book it now before flights get too expensive. We get half price. So it's normally $200 for a ticket. We're doing $99 for a ticket through our link, but we only have 10 tickets left, and we only have till the end of February. So you need to decide ASAP. And if you want to save money on tickets, Raf and I are going to buy one lucky gym up to 2 tickets for the event. So if you're a sole gym owner, you can bring on a head coach or, I don't know, a partner maybe, or someone else involved in the business, and then or you can bring your business partner. So if you want to, if you know what you want, if you're ready, if you're like, fuck it, I'm coming to the event, it's going to be sick. I know it's going to be awesome. They're going to be doing strategic planning, some of the stuff we've been talking about, start of year. Now's a good time to be doing the planning stuff as well. Go to the first link, NPE direct link. And then if you want to go into the draw to win a ticket, which we will shout you to come there, then there is a second link to go into the draw to win a ticket there. So going to be a sick event.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. And I think for all the MMP fans, quite a few have already bought tickets and taken up some of those 10. And looking forward to seeing you there.
Yeah.
They're always pretty fun.
Going to be sick.
Okay, so this week, some of the biggest flaws, and these are really just the ones I think we've seen and we see a lot amongst our peers and also in our own gyms over time. So biggest flaws in the organizational structure of, you know, independent gyms, micro gyms. If you're not like a massive globo gym, it's probably a bit different. But like franchises, all those sort of smaller micro 0 to 300 member gyms. And number one, now this is one I would say nearly everyone falls victim to, is the everyone is a coach job, where it's kind of this understanding that there's only really one job here under this building, and that's coaching people. And it's kind of expected everybody's doing that job, or like that's just like a weird kind of mindset that everybody, that is the job, the only job that could exist between these four walls.
Well, I just think it comes from, like, usually the most common way to be a business owner is to start in that sort of role, right? In the gym role as a coach. And unless you've been in gyms for a while and in commercial fitness gyms, you'll realize that the company is like a well-run business, say like a proper commercial fitness gym franchise. You realize it does have all these different roles in the business. It's got like a sales manager, and it's got a, you know, on-site gym, you know, manager. It's got the PT manager. It's got maybe the marketing team. It's got all these different roles. But if you've never done any of those roles and the only role that you do is a coach, that's the only role you think exists outside of it. It's like the head coach and the junior coach. So I think people, it's not really their fault. I think they're just going off what they've seen and what they've experienced. And they're like, cool, I don't want to coach anymore. I want to coach less. I'm just going to find a coach to take more hours. But after that, they don't know what to do.
Yeah, and it gets frustrating because you might have some team members where like they enjoy it, but they just don't want that to be the only thing they do. Or maybe you yourself as a gym owner, you're like, oh, I really like it, but I would like to do some other stuff or like express my creativity in some other areas.
Sure.
But you get stuck like, oh, this is the only like important job that is like revenue raising at the gym is coaching.
Yeah.
And I think for both of us as well, that can pull back on the enjoyment of running the gym. And that, you know, problematic mindset really feeds into the second problem, which is, I would say, very likely the biggest, particularly amongst your staff, is that there's just no progression in sight for anybody.
Yeah.
This is just like a massive motivation killer. You know, it's the type of person that is like enjoying working at the gym, and then someone on the weekend is like, hey, like, yeah, it's sick. Like, and where do you see yourself in like the next few years? And it's like, oh, didn't really think of that. Well, I don't think there's anything else to do here except exactly what I'm doing right now.
Right. Yeah. I think that no one can see themselves doing what they're doing now for the next 10 to 20 years unless it has some kind of logical progression. Like, you wouldn't be as excited to train and do exercise if you knew that you were only going to do the same shit forever. Like, that was it. There was no progression. You're never going to put weight on the bar. You're never going to do new exercises. Like, you're just going to do the same thing day in and day out. You'd be like, this sucks. This is boring. Why do I want to keep doing this? And so, that natural curiosity, that natural need for variety, right? Variety is one of the human needs that plays into wanting more things. Now, obviously, you need some security around that as well. You can't just like try this new thing and just have it completely fail and it's useless. So you have to create a role that makes sense. And you'd be surprised. It doesn't even have to be. I think people think it needs to be, all right, now you're like the social media person. Like, that's a cool and like fun, new, exciting role. But I'll tell you what, like just doing something that has clear goals, clear outcomes, and is rewarding, like being the on-site gym manager where you're in charge of making sure that the schedule runs properly, the cleaners show up, the equipment is put away correctly. If you're the person responsible for a clean, presentable, beautiful facility, I can tell you right now, our coaches that are in charge of that job and they deliver well on it, it is a very satisfying job. Like, you are making a beautiful environment. It's like the same feeling you get when you maintain a clean and orderly house, right? You're just doing it for a business. That's an essential and important role that people want to do and pull off and do it well, because it's another way of helping clients. It's another way of helping your, you know, the other members on the team. Like, dude, you're doing such a good job. The gym is so clean. The members are like, man, the bathroom's beautiful. Thank you for taking care of it. Like, it's a responsibility. It's a great role. And yeah, it needs to be done well.
Yeah. And I mean, to make it even simpler, you can even just create progression within the same role they've got. You know, so a lot of gyms just have coach, but you see a lot of really good gyms, they'll make like apprentice coach, like a junior coach, a senior coach, and that can be based off all sorts of stuff. It can be like, you know, sometimes it's time working there, other times it's like education certifications that you've gone and got.
Body fat percentage.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a joke.
Like results you've got in the gym, number of like lives you transformed, all that type of stuff. So there's some progression in there, you know, and then someone, it might still be doing the same job of coaching, but maybe their pay has gone up over time because they've like not just been around longer, but leveled up in what they're doing or achieve certain milestones, and that can make it so much more engaging.
Yeah, having the financial ladder as well is there's a reason it works, right? It's because you're paying for more valuable staff members, and they're, you know, you're giving them vision, you're giving them future. And, you know, on a, I know we just microed it down, but on a broader level as well, they also want to know that the company has a vision as well. And I'll tell you right now, a lot of gym owners, they're so focused on the next month, the next quarter, if you're lucky, that they forget the big picture. And they think, where does the gym actually want to be in 5 years from now? And if that's not exciting and it's not inspiring to the people that work there, they want to help you get to that 5-year journey, then they are not going to stick around. If they can't see where the gym and the business is going to be in 3 to 5 years, They don't, you know, they don't want to be there. And if it is exactly the same, at least tell them it's exactly the same. Like, hey, I just want to keep doing the same thing. I want to serve my community. It's a small country town. It's a small gym. I just want to keep it, you know, manageable, keep the quality of coaching high, impact lives in my local community, and that's it. And we're not going to expand. We're not going to open more gyms. We're not going to go online. We're just going to do this day in, day out. That's fine. You, at least you have a vision. Mm. Some people don't have a vision. And when you're clear on that, at least the right people will stay around for that. The exactly. people that are on board for that.
For sure. For sure. And you know, one of the best parts about that is you don't get that feeling that, you know, someone that's been there 3 years, really leveled up, done great stuff, somebody new comes in who's like first day really being in fitness, and they've got like exactly the same job. There is nice having some differentiation for in sure. there, you know, compared from the person that's amazing to the person that's just started.
Yeah.
Now, this third one, probably a lot of gym owners have been through the experience, but that is having cash in hand work for your staff members. Now, we've obviously done this in the past, in the early days. I still see it happen all the time at gym. I think, you know, it can obviously work if it's like a different arrangement. Like at a Globo gym, often it's just like you pay rent and then you go free for all.
Mm-hmm.
And you can obviously take cash in hand because you're like a contractor and you just pay your rent and then you go nuts. And
you have a separate payment system to the business.
Yeah. And you PTA and you do it all yourself. That's cool. But when it's in the gym and you're kind of delivering such a similar service to what the main product is of the gym, which might be like PT or like something different, like some extra thing that's really similar to the coaching classes program, that tends not to work in the long run.
Right.
If you just think about it like logically, if you ever walked in a factory and they're making Cokes and then they send them off to all the different shops, someone was like, oh, like as soon as I kind of finish, I make some extra Coke and I just sell that for cash down the road and I utilize all the equipment that's here and the juice and the water and like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
None of that shit goes on.
Right,
yeah,
right.
No one's using those resources in a factory for like their personal benefit on the side. And it tends to be similar in micro gyms. Why it doesn't work? The problem is it just creates weird incentive schemes, you know, when like their incentives are to do things that are like not really the best for the business.
Yeah.
And then, you know, even as professional, you don't even really know what's going on with your clients.
Yeah.
You know, they might be handling their funds unprofessionally, like taking the money and forgetting to deliver the session or forgetting to get the money when they're delivering the sessions, you know, all those things, you have no idea what's going on.
Yeah.
So it's not the ideal way to run your business.
Yeah. I think that's just always been one of those things that it, in a way, it's kind of easier. It's like, oh, no, just pay me cash, you know? And so, especially when people offer it, you immediately think to yourself, you only have to have a basic understanding of how tax works. And then you're like, oh, you know, it's just easier. I'll take cash, you know? And then that's when the problem starts. And a lot of people are going cashless these days. They're going, you know, card and tap and electronic funds transfer only because, yeah, cash can be a logistical nightmare a little bit. And you do lose track of things. And yeah, overall, I think it's probably better that you just keep it digital these days.
Yeah, you have it running centrally.
Yeah.
When you have them kind of running, all the staff members running their own tiny, small cash in hand business within the doors of your business, I mean, it's kind of a business that's on the way to being a bit out of control.
Yeah, like I also think, I just don't like the idea of the exchange. If you've ever seen this, and you've seen this, but if you've ever been a part of this, the exchange of cash on the gym floor is a weird exchange.
Yeah, it is.
Like, it's actually like the member comes, oh, yeah, sorry, I forgot to hand you all this money. And everyone's kind of looking at it. And then the owner's kind of looking at it. And why is it so much cash? How much are they paying for? Like, it's just a weird situation. You don't really want to put people in. Or then it's even worse. Like, hey, how about the cash? That's good. It's in the bathroom.
The handshake where you just do a normal handshake, but there's like a little wad of cash inside your hands? Like
it's a drug dealer handshake.
The drug dealer handshake?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, them happening in like the middle of the gym floor is like, it's not good. It's not ideal.
No, it's not good. And like if you're listening to this right now and, you know, different if you work at the gym, but if you own the gym and your policy is, if the policy is staff members take 100% of PT, you need to come to the MPE event. That is like bad business 101. That's like showing up to class and coaching it 15 minutes late with your shirt off. Some of the worst business practice, I'll tell you right now. And believe me, I have not seen a single gym succeed that has that policy. It just doesn't work.
Yeah, and even from the perspective, one day you might want to sell the gym or do something, you've got no record of the income.
No record.
You know, so it's not like that's something that you can ever take advantage of.
It's a bad incentive. You know, I don't know why they do it. Even franchises do it. It's stupid. Anyway.
So that is a policy that it is. Sometimes you've got to change it and it can be difficult to change, but you've got to just put a stake in the ground at some point.
Yeah.
Okay, fourth one. And this is really for the staff, but it's scattered schedules. Very often, it's over time, you'll find staff members just have really scattered schedules because you haven't really taken the time to like organize it correctly, speak to them, make changes, work it out with all the different people that work in your fitness business. But having that scattered schedule, even though the staff members often like, oh, it's fine, like it's working really well for me, in the long run, it tends to make them like not as energetic, not as happy, and just like burn out a little bit quicker. And that can be scattered from the perspective of just like more late nights straight into a morning. Or it can just be like, hey, 1 week it's Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Next week, like totally changed to Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
There's no rhythm.
Yeah, it's really hard for them to plan events 2 months
it's
ahead.
Not predictable.
They can't even tell someone, hey, I'm definitely going to be at that party. It's like, hey, I don't know. My schedule comes out like Sunday night and it's, you know, really challenging. And that stuff, and you know, we've been through it as well. It just doesn't give you long-term enjoyment.
Yeah. Yeah, there's nothing worse than on Sunday not knowing what your week's going to look like or waiting till 7 p.m. to get the schedule from an owner who's not taking your personal finances and situation seriously, and then you look at it and it's either really good and it's going to be a great week, or it's horrific and there's nothing you can do about it. So definitely, well, we set up just so you guys know, obviously we're just saying about how all these bad things are, as a way to do things better. You can set up your schedule quarterly and then have that fixed, and then make the micro changes week to week between the staff. That's kind of how we do it.
Yeah, and that makes more fun. And just hearing people out, hey, you know, is the schedule working for you? Oh, you know, I'm really getting sick of like these Wednesday nights when I also do the Wednesday morning.
Very important to review.
And let's try and make a long-term change there.
Yeah.
Okay, final one. And it really, and we've talked about it before and we have a guide on it, but just got to have, if you're going to have some staff members, you've got to have some meetings of some sort.
Yeah.
It's got to be some time. That could be a one-on-one, or it could be like the whole team together. It doesn't have to be like every single day or anything like that, but some regularity for it so that people have an opportunity to be heard. Because very often the first four problems that you've got come up in these meetings. Yes. If you're making those mistakes, the irritation around them tend to come out in those meetings, and that will remind you, oh, I'm falling into that trap again, or this is going on, didn't even realize this was happening in the gym. So having that some regularity, obviously it's not a change to the structure, but it kind of like feeds a good structure.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. The like for everyone listening, like having a regular meeting slot is so, so critical. I hate hearing trainers that I talk to in the industry or gym owners, and I go, when was your last meeting? And they can't remember. I can tell you, our last meeting was on Monday. And then the meeting before that was on Thursday. And the meeting before that was on Monday, Thursday, Monday, Thursday, Monday, Thursday. We don't miss them. It's just so, so important. It's like not, it's like, you know, your team, right? You're playing soccer. You're trying to win the championship. When did you guys last practice together? Oh, can't remember when we practiced together. It's like, that is your practice. It's coming together. It's discussing. It's game planning. And it's moving towards the ultimate goal. And if you're not practicing, then you're doomed to fail.
Yeah, and you know, it can often make it more fun. Like, it starts to build a bit of that culture. You know, what's the reason the members love the culture in the gym? Oh, we come together like kind of Mondays, Thursdays, and Fridays all at the same time, 6:30 p.m. and we do these like activities together.
Yeah, yeah.
We like rely on seeing each other.
I look forward
times.
To our meetings.
Yeah, and yeah, that is what starts to build that culture with you, particularly in the fitness industry, where it's like, you know, if you're coaching in the mornings, if you're not on in the mornings, unlikely you're going to come and hang out.
Yeah.
Because you're like, oh, it's like my one chance to sleep in a little bit, you know? So like, it can become very scattered, you barely see people, or you see them, they're coaching and they're busy and then they're running out the door. It's good just to have that time just allotted.
Yeah, we're digital Monday to Friday, Monday and Thursday, and then we are in person once a month on a Thursday. Yeah.
So we do. The in-person one makes a big difference. It probably depends on your gym. If you only got one location, you probably can do more maybe in-person.
Yeah.
Because you guys are all together. If people are working different places or different hours, the digital just makes it so much easier. Because it can, you know, if you're traveling a lot to a meeting, then that can be a big loss overall for the company.
Yeah, for sure. And don't pay your coaches for meetings. It's part of the job.
Yeah, part of the job. Depending on what you've got, it can be part of the job. But if you've got a coach that only works like 3 or 4 hours a week, then you're probably going to have to pay them if they want to come to the meeting. Because it, you know, it all depends on what structure you've got set up for them.
Yeah, you're part-time, full-time. It's part of their job.
Yeah. Okay, awesome. So, today, recap, we went through the biggest flaws for gym organizational structure. Number one, everybody in the floor is a coach. Number two, you've got to have some progression for your staff. Number three, just get rid of all the cash and handwork. It just becomes a nightmare and it's like not something you need. Four, scattered schedules, they just lead to burn out so much quicker than something is sustainable and reliable and they can know is going to be ahead of time with the coach's schedule. And number five, for God's sake, just have some meetings.
Yeah. And, you know, we talked last week about a social media strategy. Building a better team is more important than a social media strategy. Let's just get very clear on this. Building your team is the foundation of good business. Once you have a good team behind you, like, you will be absolutely shocked at how the exponential growth of your company. Now, it's not easy to find the from the stuff that I've read and the people I've listened to on recruiting. It's a 1 in 5 chance out of every different interview situation that you'll find the perfect person for the role that will grow the company exponentially. It's a 2 in 5 chance that you'll find a really good person for the role, and a 2 in 5 chance that you'll find the wrong person for the role. And we've fleshed out all those percentages. And I can tell you right now, when you hit the 3 out of 5, you know, the 2 good ones and then the best one, you're almost looking at yourself like, fuck, can you believe we found this person? Mm. Like, they've absolutely turned this thing around. They're growing it so much. They're so passionate. And so it's your responsibility as a gym owner to take this sort of stuff we're talking to now very seriously, because the team, I cannot emphasize enough how important the team is. It really is who can do this job. Not how can I do it, but who can do this job. So we're going to get into the nitty-gritty next week on this particular topic. So, Raph, what is the stuff we're going over next week?
Yeah, so these are obviously things not to do, but more of the things that you should do. So right. More of the positives on how to foster a good team, build a winning team, get more A players on your team. You know, it's obviously a lot of things to not do, but it's a lot of things more that you have to do.
Yeah.
You know, proactive things you have to do in advance that will help build this team for 2020.
For sure. And if you haven't, Raph mentioned a few times the meetings guide in this episode. If you haven't downloaded our meetings guide, a lot of you have, actually. It's one of our more popular downloads. You can find it at themindmuscleproject.com/free. I will link up that in the description of this episode, as well as at the start I mentioned the MPE events as well. So you guys can check those out there. But for now, thank you so much for tuning into In the Black, and we'll speak to you next week. Thank you, Project, for tuning in again to another episode of the My Muscle Project. We release an episode every single Monday. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram, the My Muscle Project, to stay up to date with everything we're doing. And if you have some time, leave us a review and a 5-star rating on iTunes.
And don't forget, we have a second show of the week, The After Show. So it's no longer a rest day on Thursdays. If you have any questions for Lachlan and I for that show, head to themindmuscleproject.com/theaftershow. And if you ask a question, we'll answer it on the show.
Thanks again so much, Project, and we'll see you all next week.